Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another show. I got a lot to talk about tonight, but we have one honorary guest with us today, obviously. But I'm going to pass you around.
Ryan.
Jeremy.
And Carter.
Oh, well done,
AKA
intern.
The intern. You have to leave the long pause there. Dramatic long pause. All right, guys, just get right into it. It's been another weekend that hasn't failed to excite. The results are incredible. So let's get right into it. The first one. Tottenham versus Liverpool. I'm going to pass you over to Ryan, obviously your expert.
Yeah. Early kickoff, Saturday morning. It was a good game. I think Liverpool definitely had the best of it in the first half. Spurs kind of came into their own in the second. 1-1, pretty fair result. Michel Vorm was really good, I thought, for Spurs. In the sticks, failed Mane's. 3 one-on-ones, like one after almost carbon copies of each other. It was an okay game. Obviously, Milner with the penalty, Mr. Charismatic.
Yeah. Mr. Charismatic.
You were saying how boring he is, like.
Oh yeah, he's renowned for being one of the most boring professionals on the planet. But you let him off.
He's going to be on the anti-shoot show,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Sticks the ball in the net. He just does a job for you. That's what he does. He just does a job. You give him the parameters of what to do. He 9 times out of 10, he does it. Unfortunately, he didn't do it for England, but
But I'm a professional. Yeah, pretty so I'm decent. Play for Liverpool.
Yeah, I know. And then you got Danny Rose scoring, tie things up. I actually thought there would end up being a winner in that game, but 1-1, probably a fair result. I think if Pochettino's probably going to be happier of the two, because I don't think Spurs actually played anywhere near what they can. And obviously it's always kind of a little bit confidence hitting when you're 1-0 up and concede in the second half and end up being 1-1. So I think Klopp's probably the more unhappy of the two managers.
Right.
Which, and the Spurs started kind of slow last year, and it seems like they kind of continued that trend this season.
Mm. But here's the thing. Klopp has had now a full season to go in with, you know what I mean? When he got in last year, I can't remember, was it just after the winter transfer window, or was it just before? He didn't really have much of a pitch.
I want to say it was just before, but he really didn't make any
purchases. Right, because you have to be with the team for a certain length of time before you know who to buy, who to get rid of. And this summer, I thought, you know what? Honestly, I think they could be top four.
You think Balotelli's going to end up going anywhere?
No idea. I mean, he has to go somewhere. It's just nobody wants him, and rightly so. I mean, you've done it to yourself.
Prima donna.
Yeah.
With no skills to back it up.
And the thing is, he's one of these players that, you know, he broke on the scene at the right time. He makes all this money. I guarantee you, within 3 years, he'll be absolutely bankrupt, flipping burgers. It's just the way it's going, and he's done it to himself, so you can't have anybody else to blame but himself. But, you know, there are teams in, like, second league of, like, Italian leagues and stuff that just don't want him because it's just too much hassle. And he has this wage demand, which is just ridiculous. Back it up. Back it up. And unfortunately, he can't do it.
Yeah. But, I mean, the other thing I wanted to bring up about this game was 8 yellow cards. I know there was no reds, but still, 8 yellows.
Yeah, but most games are going to be that way now with these rule changes and
explain
things
the rule
like
changes
that.
Like the big
so
ones.
So the worst for me, like you saw it today in the West Ham game, is that you've got, I can't remember what the guy's name is now, but he's done a couple of fouls on Sterling. The referee's pulled him over with the captain Mark Noble. He's explained to him if any more and he's going to be sent off because he was already on a yellow.
Yeah.
And then I guess Noble said something to the ref that the ref didn't necessarily like, and Noble gets booked. Noble would never have been in that situation if the ref doesn't bring him over. Noble had already kind of stepped away, but because he's summoned, because he's the captain, to me, it's a little bit farcical. And again, with the Middlesbrough game today, you had a guy who clearly it wasn't a foul. And he's right next to the linesman, and he just says, you could tell he wasn't berating him, he wasn't effing and blinding, he's just asking him, what did you see? What did you see? And the ref just walked straight up to him and booked him. It's like you can't ask any questions. It's kind of a little bit farcical at the moment. But
you can't win.
Yeah, you're going to see, they have to do away, because what happens is, I know the previous years, if there's a match where there's over, I think, 7 yellows, both teams will get a fine for that.
Right.
For not being able to, you know, in whatever they want to call it, but not being able to control your players.
Conduct themselves as gentlemen. It's the gentleman's game, and you got to remember that, guys.
I disagree.
Talking about gentlemen, you guys are tuned in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. Don't forget, you can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470, or go to our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/blokesonthebench. You can also email us, by the way, if you can't get through on the phones. I know the phones have been a bit touchy. You can also email us. Go to the top of the page, send email. Don't forget to put your name, question on it, and I'll read them out during the show. All right, so, next game. Crystal Palace versus Bournemouth. Selhurst Park.
Oh, it's nearly so on for my... I was so nearly on to nail in Pardew getting sacked. But luckily, Scott Dan, header, last couple of minutes, rescued him. But yeah, I mean, Bournemouth got off to a good start. They actually played really well in this game, I thought.
Yeah, Joshua King scored.
Yeah, it's, you know what? The really strange thing is that any team that goes to Selhurst Park should be in for kind of a rough time.
Right.
So the thing is, I think, you know, Crystal Palace at home should be getting a result against Bournemouth, right? But think about it as a confidence way, and we'll get into this in another game that we watched this weekend, where Eddie Howe and his Bournemouth team are probably leaving that stadium really deflated. They've got a point, but they're really deflated. That late on, you're away from home, you think you got 3 points, Palace score, and Palace, I guarantee they went back in the change room, Salah to win.
Right.
Just because they finally got on the board, they've got a point for this season. So that's probably going to spur them on, and Bournemouth, I don't know, like might be, you know, kind of left
Eddie
kicking
Howe's
themselves a little
bit deflated.
But before the game, if you would have offered Eddie Howe and Bournemouth a point, they'd have probably taken it. I mean, it's just, that's just the way the game goes. But
so do you think Pardew has been kind of pardoned?
Bought him a little bit of time. The Benteke signing's always going to buy him a little bit of time. You don't invest that much money into a striker and then
get rid of your manager.
Right.
And he did do an interview, Alan Pardew, that the Benteke deal was going to help and strengthen the team.
Yeah, and it will over time. I think that's a great club for him to go to, as long as he gets service. Yeah, that's one to watch, I think.
Well, with Benteke coming in, it's been a lot of talking. The only reason I follow the guy is because he played for Man U for a little bit. Well, can't really say he played, but Zaha.
Right.
It's talk that he might be moving.
He should never move from that club. He's exactly where he needs to be. Man United was way too big of a jump for him. He's exactly where he needs to be. Work on your craft. A lot of people put him in the same kind of bracket as like a Raheem Sterling from a, you know, 2.5 years ago. I haven't seen enough of that yet. So I think he's exactly where he needs to be.
Yeah. Which, and I mean, even with Sterling, you've got Liverpool where he came from, which is a little bit more of a prolific club, a little bit more history.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I mean, the next game, Chelsea versus Burnley at Stamford Bridge. Was it really any surprise that Chelsea were going to win?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Chelsea, you know, before this game, 2 games, 2 wins. In my opinion, I said it the previous weeks, they got lucky, like a couple of last 10-minute goals, like against Watford last week, left it to the last 10 minutes to pull that out of the bag. This performance, we watched this game start to finish, they were very, very good. Very, very good.
Do you think Hazard's back?
It's on his way.
Is it too early to say?
He's on his way. Yeah, you can't just look. You can't. He's obviously got all the talent in the world. Should he be mentioned in the same breath as like Messi, Ronaldo, Bale, Neymar? A couple of years ago, you'd have been like this. Like if we were talking about it today, absolutely. But no, he not that he peaked, but you know, he's a confidence player. He's not somebody that needs to have an arm put around him and say, hey, you're like world class, son, come on, like give me something. And I just don't think he got that last year. I don't think he got the rub of the green. But yeah, I mean, you can tell he's playing with abundance of confidence at the moment. So that, I mean, then that's scary for everybody else.
Because Costa and Hazard were brought in by Mourinho that season previous to him winning. If they're on form, I mean, Costa scored. If they're on form, could we be looking for a team that could have a likelihood of being in a title charge?
Yeah, they're definitely in it.
Right.
They're definitely in it. You can tell the whole mentality around the club has completely changed. But you can say that, you know what? You can say that about Man City, too.
I was going to say, it seems like the top four kind of back in it this season. You got Man U looking really strong. You got Chelsea. You know, they're doing... And granted, they're playing some light teams right now, but they're still doing what they need to do.
Yeah, it's like the old structure has finally come back to order.
Sure.
So. Yeah, but, you know, you saw great goal from Hazard.
Which Willian's impressed me.
Willian's goal was good. Again, a couple of really nice touches and flicks from Costa and Hazard in that build-up. But for me, like, Conte in the middle was just fantastic. That's why you bought him. First couple of games, I didn't really see him sit in the role as well as you maybe hoped. But look, if you were going to tell, if somebody would have told the manager, hey, it's going to take him three games to sit in that role and give you exactly what you bought,
let him do that.
He did it yesterday. He was fantastic. Covered every blade of grass. Just nicks balls from everybody in the midfield. Even when he's 3 yards away from him, all he's looking for is that. If you haven't got a world-class first touch, he's nipping in. And I thought he was brilliant yesterday.
Which, and you guys haven't even spoke on it. You had Moses scoring for the first time since he parted the Red Sea.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think it was like 2012 or something like that. But I mean,
talking about blades of grass you were mentioning, like waterlogged pitch. What was up with that? Honestly, it looked like they were skiing across it. Like,
yeah, there was a couple. There was a couple of games yesterday where it was all storming. Over the place. I mean, the Leicester Swansea game was kind of farcical in that last 10 minutes.
We'll get to that.
But yeah, no, I mean, you've got to understand as well, these are some of the best groundsmen in the world. They just, the pitches can hold up to them, so.
Right.
But Chelsea are definitely in it. Definitely in it this year.
But could that, I mean, would you have, if you were in charge of that game, would you have called it off or just let it go ahead?
What, the Chelsea game?
Yeah, with that, I mean, the pitch was soaking.
No, I think you got the wrong game, mate, if I'm being totally honest.
It was not. It was waterlogged. Remember, we watched it.
Yeah, that was Leicester Swansea, bud.
Oh, was that? I thought there was a few
Blue
games
shirts.
That had happened.
Yeah, no,
Blue
it was...
very funny. All right, guys, moving on to the next game. Obviously, City versus West Brom. At the Etihad, City Ham. Looking strong. West Ham, sorry. What did you think of that game?
City do look good. I hate to say that. Hate to say that, but they do look good.
Is it Pep?
It's partly Pep, and it's partly, you know, it's a new season. You have to be hungry, and I just think it's a combination of a lot of different things. The same could be said about United, and the same with Chelsea. Like, new manager in goal, like you have to perform if you want to play
or keep your spot.
Exactly, and so you're looking at City. They're so well organized. I actually think they look a better team without Torre in it. I think the balance across the middle is so much better. And then you have, like, you know, Raheem Sterling actually looked really good. And, you know, Fernandinho does his thing. You got De Bruyne, who's always been a great player. David Silva looked good yesterday.
Right.
Aguero, yeah. Nolito. I mean, the list goes on and on. They just look very good from back to front.
Yeah.
And they just dominated that game. The thing that worries me about them is that they could have been 5 or 6 up at halftime.
Yeah.
And they go in 2-0, the next goal, when you're at 2-0, the next goal is the most important in a game. You're either going to bury the game at 3-0, or you let the other team back in it. They let them back in, but then again, West Ham didn't do enough after they scored after they got back in it at 2-1. And obviously, Man City ran out 3-1 winners. But for me, that should have been a 6-0 game.
And it's also looking now like Aguero might be out for the City derby.
For the Manchester derby, yeah. I mean, we'll have to see what happens with that. But he definitely threw an elbow at Reed. Yeah.
United fans are rejoicing at that.
And it wasn't a full-on contact, but it caught enough of him that Reedy went off. So
what happens in that situation where the ref the linesman, the fourth official, don't say it, but it is on camera. What happens? Do they watch it after the game and go, okay?
They can't. They have to do their match report on what they saw with their own eyes.
Okay.
And if there's no mention of it, he can get up to, I think he can only get a one game ban if it's not mentioned in the match report. If they mention it in the match report that this potentially happened, then he can get up to 3 games.
So there's no reviewing footage and kind of making a judgment.
No, they can't go in there. That will get passed on to like the Premier League, and they'll make a decision on that. But from what I saw, I'd be surprised if he doesn't get a one game ban for that.
All right. So the next game, West Bromwich Albion versus Middlesbrough.
Well, I might as well be done talking about that one. One of the most boring games that you'll see this weekend.
It's just scrumptious.
Yeah, there you go. It was just, look, it's what you kind of expect. Middlesbrough, to be fair, they knocked the ball around really well. They kept possession. I like little things that they did, but everything's in their own half.
Right.
There was nothing like in the final third that got you excited. And, you know, I feel sorry for like Negredo playing up front and even Gaston Ramirez feeding on scraps, and it just shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. West Brom are poor.
Yeah.
Just poor. It was just a poor game. And 0-0 is just kind of sums up exactly how poor it was. So I think the less said about that game, the better. Yeah.
Well, something that isn't boring is obviously our show. Blokes on the Bench, you're tuning into us. Don't forget you can call us on 434-284-9470 or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. You can also email us through the link on the Facebook page. If you go to the top of the page, there's a send email. Next game, Southampton versus Sunderland. This is a little better.
Yeah, I mean, what you got on that, mate? Sunderland, finally. Like, again, this is one of those ones where Sunderland are leaving St. Mary's gutted. Absolutely gutted. Like, if you'd have offered David Moyes a point before the game, he'd have taken it. But again, you get that late on. You got Jermaine Defoe doing what he does, scoring a penalty in the 80th minute. And you're 1-0 up. Just 10 minutes, ride it out. You're taking 3 points all the way up to the tippy top of England with you. But no, yeah. Jay Rodriguez. It was great to see Jay score. He's had 3 years of kind of hampered by injury, so it was great to see him score. But again, Southampton are celebrating in the changing rooms, happy as Larry, so.
All right, guys, it's just gone 20 after the hour. Coming up next, we'll discuss more about the Premier League action, plus all the news from the UVA. Here's a quick word from our sponsors. All right, guys, welcome back to Blokes on the Bench. So let's continue with the Southampton game. You were saying about...
Yeah, like I was just saying, it was great to see Jay Rodriguez score. Like I said, he's been hampered with injury for like 3 years. So, yeah, it was nice to see him back because looked like he was about to break into the England side at one stage. But, yeah, Carter had a good point. Keeper really should have saved it for Sunderland. I mean, it was straight at him, straight down the throat, and it squirms under his body. But yeah, like I said, so Southampton are going into that changing room like just celebrating a win almost, and Sunderland, you know, are going to feel a little deflated on that. And that's, you know, these teams, Sunderland, Bournemouth, they're teams that need confidence. They need to be like rallying on confidence, and at the moment they're not really getting the rub of the green, but that's the Premier League, isn't it? So yeah, that's pretty much what I got to say about that.
What about you, Jeremy? Any want to pitch in on that game?
That was actually one of the ones I didn't catch. I was out at the pitch myself yesterday most of the day.
Banging them in.
Yeah. Everton versus Stoke. I think the biggest thing we can say about this game is the absolute... Well, you know what? I'm going to give the keeper, Shea Given, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. It wasn't his fault. He went for the ball. Leighton Baines went and kicked it. It kind of came off the back of the post, and it hit him in the back of the head, and then went in.
Yeah.
And you were saying that if that was in any other league, the Euros? Or
No. When it's in a penalty shootout, that's not a goal. There can't be, like, two phases to a penalty.
Right.
A penalty shootout.
It's either in or it's out.
Yeah. So, look, when it's a penalty, the goalkeeper is not expected to save it. Like, that's the beauty of being a keeper when you're up against a penalty. No, you're not expected to save it. That's the beauty of it.
It's just the score is meant as expected.
Yeah, you're supposed to score from 12 yards, and when you don't, then you don't, and the keeper's a hero, right? So it's just one of those things. Baines smashes it off the post. He's gone the right way, bless him. Like, that's the funny thing, yeah? If Shea Given would have gone the wrong way and been sent the wrong way, ball probably bounces out to the 18-yard box and maybe they can clear it. It just kind of, like, kind of sods law that he's gone the right way and it's bounced off the post, hit him in the back of the head, he knows nothing about it, and it's gone in. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, was there anything really to talk about that game?
Not really. Not really. I mean, great for Everton, great for Koeman. The Goodison crowd are going to, you know... Again, when you get to the end of the season, and let's say Everton are kind of, let's say, pushing for top six, something like that, no one's going to remember this game, but it's 3 points in the bag. So, you know, you've got to worry a little bit for Stoke, because I don't think they did enough.
Right.
Mark Hughes... You know, I don't know why he always does this at clubs he's at. He'll have 2 years where you think, oh, he's really doing well there. And then it's just like stale. Right. Just stale for like half a season. And then he'll probably bounce on to a different club. But yeah, Stoke weren't good enough yesterday.
All right, talking about a game here. Obviously, United fans in the room.
Oh, come on.
Hull City. Aha. Yeah. Manchester City, what am I going to say? Hull City versus Man United at the KCOM Stadium. This game was 0-0 up until the 92nd minute.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was in the room. I was almost like, turn it off. I cannot watch this. And, you know, Fergie time, as they call it.
Well, it's Mourinho time.
Forever known as Fergie time. That's it. You just can't. You can't turn your back. And... As soon as you look, even Cart said it earlier. As soon as they brought on Mkhitaryan and Rashford, like the whole dynamic of our just moving forward, really move. Because we actually look when you take what we did in the previous game, Pogba's debut, where he was just pounding midfield up and down, up and down. Didn't do a lot of that yesterday, but as soon as Mkhitaryan came in, he kind of took that mantle. And every time he got the ball, he looked to run forward. It was great, and that's brilliant.
He looks like Ross Geller, but he plays a bit like Cantona.
There you go.
He just runs through people.
What more could you ask for? And look, Rashford to get the goal. Fantastic. Rooney did great, to be fair.
Well, come on. Like, for that bit, yes. But I mean,
But that's what we were saying. Like, we talked about Zlatan. Like, he doesn't do a lot during a game, but he'll make a half chance into an absolute goal scoring opportunity.
And I agree with you on that. But Rooney messed up.
Oh, he was shocking for the first 10 minutes. First four touches, he gave it away.
Yeah, giving away passes. I was like, "Rooney, what are you doing?"
Your feet sometimes.
Yeah, but
find your feet.
He settled in, and I was glad he was on the pitch because he did the business out there on the left, and thank God. Yeah, that was great. But one thing that is a little bit worrying is about Martial's performance wasn't good.
I honestly thought he was on the pitch.
We talked about it on the whole ride out here. Like, I truly wonder with him if it's a little bit of the losing his number. Maybe there's some ill will, and you've got a few big signings in. The guys are doing what they're supposed to do.
Feels out of his depth and a bit unwanted.
Right, and to be fair, not to go into it too much, but he's got a lot of off-the-field things going on at the moment, if you read the papers. He hasn't been the best of boys, but it must all play a factor, but... It's not that he looks disinterested. It's just the way we're kind of moving up the field now. A lot of it comes down the right. And when it comes down the left, it's Luke Shaw overtaking him. So it's...
Luke Shaw looks bad.
He looks brilliant. Brilliant.
He does.
Look, Martial, you got to expect a few kind of dud games from him. But as soon as he lights up one half... of a game, we're going to forget all about the first two. So,
all right. Well, don't forget, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470. Give us a ring, and we promise we'll take the phone call this time. Or go to your Facebook page, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. And you can also hit the send email button on that and send your name, questions. We'll read them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, let's get back to the United game. Rashford. I mean, we could talk all night about Rashford, to be honest.
Should he
be on the last few minutes, or should he be on the whole game?
I think you got to give him his opportunities. I mean, he comes on for England in the Euro. He plays well.
Right. We'll talk about the England stuff there, because that's interesting.
But, you know, he comes on. He provides a spark. He finishes. I mean, the kid's a goal scorer.
Right. I think he's kind of like Kane in the sense that he knows where to be at the right time, at the right place.
Just that striker sense.
Right. Yeah.
But my thing is I kind of like what we're doing with him. Last year, we had to throw him to the wolves because we had nobody else.
Right.
And the kid
that
performed.
Arsenal game was
brilliant.
Yeah.
I think that Jose Mourinho is doing exactly the right thing with Rashford, because you know what? What were we going to do? Get Zlatan. Obviously, he was a free, but we pay this astronomical wage and stuff. Are we going to play Rashford ahead of Zlatan? Give Rashford his chance for him to maybe not live up to... The kid's 18 years old, to not live up to last year's expectations.
It's a lot of pressure.
And then what? Stick him on the bench and just have him as a bit feed player? No, I think it's absolute perfect... Perfect example of man management, classic man management from a top manager to say, buddy, you are the absolute future of this club, but you're 18 years old. I'm going to nurture you into being the best forward. The kid's going to be the, I'm telling you now, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, that is the kid who's going to be the next Thierry Henry. He is going to be the next Thierry Henry, and we are building him up absolutely perfectly. He's going to get his opportunities. So, you know what? Yes, he only came on and he played, what was it? 12 minutes, something like that. But the confidence he must have now from that 12 minutes, roll that into the next game. Yeah, you come on for 12 minutes again. The kid's booming. He's not dissatisfied that he's not. This kid knows he's a Manchester lad. He's playing for the biggest club in England. Like, I'm telling you, he's loving every second of it. So I think it's what we're doing is absolutely perfect.
And not to... You know, kick a dead horse, but like with Martial, you got to remember with him as well. What was he, 19 when he broke in last year?
Everyone was saying the same thing about him.
So, I mean, he's 20 years old right now. He's not much older.
Yeah. And he was going to be the next Thierry Henry.
You got off the field stuff with him. I think he'll come around before the season's over.
Oh, he's going to be, they're both going to be great players. The difference is you have Rashford, who's come from the Manchester United Academy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
probably makes, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, he probably makes no more than 20 grand a week, right? Which obviously, it's a lot of money, but in comparison, it's nothing. We signed a 19-year-old French kid that played 14 times for Monaco, and by the end of it, our bill to them is going to be close to $90 million. Like, that's huge for this kid. Like, that's a huge amount of money, huge amount of responsibility. So in my opinion, I expect Rashford steps out on the pitch with literally zero pressure. Martial has something to prove every time he steps on the field. And I think that's the biggest difference. That's why, you know what? Don't be surprised within maybe the next 3 or 4 games, you start to see Rashford turned into a makeshift left-sided player where Martial's playing, and Martial kind of just take a step back and maybe come on and be a bit more of an impact player until we really figure out how we're going to utilize both of them. That's going to be interesting.
This game actually reminded me of that kind of tough, wintry kind of middle of November, December type game. It was very gritty.
Well, that's because we're pissing down with rain, mate, really. But yeah, so, it was, it did remind you of like kind of a late November, early December game. But I said to you yesterday, these are the games that win you titles.
Right.
These are the games that win you titles.
And just to point out, Rashford actually did get a yellow card for the celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, did you hear about Fellini? There was some fan that was being crushed in the crowd.
And he saved her life.
Yeah, he went and grabbed her and kind of helped her out. But I mean, actually, you know what? I'm going to talk about Fellini, because you've said all along that Fellini is one of those players that needs to be brought round. You know, he's somebody that United fans, there's a part of the crowd that did not like him. They saw him as baggage. And do you think that they're turning around to him now?
Yeah. It was kind of seen as, oh, Moyes has come from... Because when Moyes came, it was talks of, right, we're going to get Fellaini, we're going to get Leighton Baines. There was even talk of, like, Ross Barkley. And we ended up getting Fellaini.
And paid more for him than the initial...
Yeah, and it wasn't the greatest first season for him. And there was talks of him that Van Gaal wouldn't like him and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you right now, Fellaini, for me, would be on my team sheet, my first 11 for Man United every single week. Yeah. If you're going to play him alongside Pogba, absolutely.
Like, I don't hate the guy. I've definitely had my moments where I dislike him, and I think it would come from, like, the stupid fouls and whatnot. But I think a lot of it, too, is the style of play. Like, now you've got it, it's a little bit more up-tempo. It's back to the way United play. So with that surrounding and that core group with him, he looks better. It's easier to flow in with that versus the boring football. And if you're the guy that's making the dumb tackle, then all of a sudden...
He's a very, very intelligent footballer. You can tell that by his subtle movements to break up play. Reads the game really, really well. for me, just an absolute asset. Absolute asset.
Now, let's not take anything away from Hull.
No, absolutely not.
And they still, I mean...
And you know what? They should be rolling into their next game full of confidence. Because you know what? If you'd have offered them after three games, with the three games that they had, going to the Champions, and then who did they... I think they played, like, Swansea last week, was it? Something like that. And then they played United here, those first three games. If you'd have offered them 6 points, they'd have ripped your arm off for it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, they're probably buzzing. And they... Just a little note, it sounds like they've got 15 fit players now in the squad, so that's good. They're trending in the right direction, so that's good for Hull.
I mean, I got frustrated. It felt like they've just parked the bus, but, you know, that's hard in itself when you're just barraged with, especially United, and knowing, like you said, they could score at any second, and it's the ninth, you know, we've got 4 minutes of extra time.
Well, that's what the lesser teams have to do. If you get, if you get the kind of... Like mantra is, if we get to the 60th minute and it's still 0-0, we are parking the bus. We are absolutely parking the bus. For me, it was more like from minute one they were kind of doing that. They had a couple of breaks. De Gea hasn't had to do anything the entire game.
I know. I was actually just about to ask. Did he just sit there and just...
I know, break out the newspaper, have a little chat with the whole fans behind the goal. But yeah, that's what you get. The systems that they do, playing the one up front, like trying to pack the midfield, trying to break it up. And then, but it, again, I said, it's the teams that can go all the way to the final minute, to the final second, and just find a way to get the job done. And we did it yesterday, so hats off to the Red Devils.
I'm going to pass it over to you, Ryan, for this next game.
Leicester City, finally back to them old selves against Swansea.
Because you were saying that first game, that they really didn't play...
Yeah, first game they didn't play. They didn't play well at all. They were trying to be how they think champions should play. And then in their next game, they got a very good result against the Arsenal, 1-1. So it was nice to see yesterday. And the thing that really stood out for me yesterday was Danny Drinkwater. Mm. Absolute brilliant yesterday. Why? I hope he's been. I haven't seen what the England squad is for this upcoming, but he has to be in it. He has to be. He was brilliant. Covered more ground than any other player on the pitch. Completed more passes than any player on the pitch. His ball for Vardy's goal, as far as I'm concerned, that's goal of the weekend by an absolute mile when you watch it. Mm. He was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, again, confidence. Drinkwater's playing well. Vardy's playing well. You had Mahrez miss a penalty when it was at 2-0. Wes Morgan scores a really weird goal. You need to probably catch that on YouTube. It bounces off about 10 players' backs before it falls to his falls to his foot and he lashes it in. The only one that's a little bit concerning is Mahrez hasn't really hit the ground running yet.
You missed that penalty, right?
Yeah. And the conditions yesterday, if you want to see a game that's absolute waterlogged for the last 15 minutes, check out that. It was absolutely ridiculous.
And you were saying the Lightning hit?
Yeah, Lightning actually hit the stand and knocked out like a quarter of the floodlight. So when you watch it, it'll be a little dark in one corner and very bright in the other. So, it was a good result, great result for Leicester. They kind of, you know, 4 points after three games. They're right in the middle of the pack, kind of where they probably expected to be. So it wasn't too bad.
Which is not only Danny Drinkwater, but our boy Luke Shaw's in the England squad
right,
as well.
But Rashford's not.
Nah, he got dropped down to the U21.
And guess who else is in it?
Wayne Rooney.
Oh, Joe Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We didn't talk about Joe Hart, actually, but we'll get to
Joe in that final segment. But one thing you touch on about Rashford being dropped down to 21s, it shouldn't be seen as a drop. It really shouldn't. Like, I think we're doing exactly what we should be doing. Look, we have this really young, raw talent. Nurture the kid. Don't throw him to the wolves. It's like we've done this so many times with other players where we just like, oh, we've got this wonder kid, throw him out there, and they do nothing, and they fall flat on their face, and then we're the first ones, especially in British media, to like ostracize them and be like, the worst thing since sliced bread. Well, this kid's going to be phenomenal.
I totally agree with what you're saying but when you look at the roster, and you've got Harry Kane, Jamie Vardy, okay, Daniel Sturridge right now? You're telling me Rashford?
He scored. Anyway, listen, guys. time is 6:40. Coming up next, we're going to talk about, obviously, UVA. And obviously, that Mark's not here. We can rip into Arsenal. All right, guys, we'll be right back after this. All right, guys, welcome back. So we're going to talk about the last game. Mark's not here, so I'm just going to pass it over to Ryan.
Oh, yeah, the mighty Arsenal. He's going to be so happy. So Arsenal ran out 3-1 winners. Actually watched this game, and it wasn't as convincing as the scoreline says, but first half, Arsenal were fantastic, really. Penalty, an absolute butchering tackle on Sanchez. Got absolutely elbowed to the jaw. Penalty, and who was it? Cazorla, as he does from the penalty spot. Safely dispatches that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to do my best Mark impressions.
Okay, Santi Cazorla. Santi Cazorla.
And then you got Sanchez with a real nice finish. Me and Carter disputed this, whether or not it was intentional or not. I think we both kind of ended up agreeing that he was just trying to get it back in the danger area and luckily crossed the line. First look at goal line technology this year for that one. And so that made it 2-0. And then, to be honest, player that I really don't rate as highly as everybody else. But what a great run from Ozil. Great cross from Sanchez, and just a great header, 3-0 at halftime. But the second half was a completely different story. Watford had some great chances. Great chances. They got back in it with Pereira with his first goal. So that was good. That'll give him some confidence. And then N'Golo should have scored. He had a great effort. And then it's from what I saw, it looked like Koscielny handled in that last few minutes there. Could have easily been a 3-3. Mm. And Marco would not have been happy about that.
But do you think that Wenger's going to actually go out and... He surely he has to have been listening
Mustafi.
To
us.
The best point Mahrez, to make is that Mahrez. All the top teams, your Guardiola, your Mourinho's, your Conte's, yeah? Even your Klopp's, they've gone out and they've already bought the players that they want for their squad.
Yeah.
He's left picking up the pieces. He's talking about signing Perez, yeah? Who, come on, and then he's trying to get people interested and excited about it by being, he's going to be my next Jamie Vardy. It's like, come on, buddy.
Jamie Vardy didn't even want to come.
You're waiting. Yeah. You're just waiting to the end of the window
just
and just
cheap
seeing
pickings
what
left.
You can get. And this Mustafi thing's been going on forever, and you're going to get him. Is he the answer to all your prayers? I don't know.
That and a recognized striker.
I don't know. It was
a recognized striker.
But yeah, that's one thing to actually touch up on. That Arsenal didn't really play with an out and out forward yesterday, and Watford really bad managerial decision. Once they get the team sheet. They started the game playing 5-4-1, you've got five defenders. excuse me, five defenders that really weren't marking anybody. So I had no idea what kind of who should go, who should stay, because you have this Walcott as a false centre forward. You got Sanchez as a false centre forward. You got Ozil making those runs. They had no idea what to do. And then, so they were 3-0 down, right, after the first half, playing 5-4-1. Second half, they come out, play 4-4-2. And if you break it into two halves, they won the second half 1-0.
Hmm.
It's like, come on. It took you 45 minutes to figure that out. It took you, got the team sheet half an hour before the game started. Bad management. Bad management.
Which, and we touched on it earlier, the yellow card situation. There were six yellow cards to Watford in that match.
Hmm.
I'm telling you, it's gonna be the trend. You're gonna see it every single week. You're gonna see games this year where it's like 9 versus 8.
Right. All right, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench. Don't forget, you can call us on 434-284-9470, or you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. You can also email us. There's a link on the top of the page if you've got a question for us. Don't forget to put your name, question, and we'll read it out during the show. All right, so let's talk. Let's Premier League. That's all the fixtures. We'll get to the fixtures in a bit. I saw the games. Do you have any international stuff that's coming up next week? Because I guess that's one thing I do want to point out, guys. We're not actually on air next week with the international break. But we will be back on the weekend of the 10th. Jeremy, over to you.
You know, I mean, it's no fantastic matches. You got Germany playing Finland on Wednesday. Netherlands have got Greece on Thursday. Belgium, Spain actually should be, a pretty good match.
Yeah. Let's talk about each of the fixtures. Like what
Belgium, kind of
Belgium are a strong team, I think.
Just want to see Hazard kind of stay on form, and I think, Spain's a good
Fellini's in Belgium, right?
And they got Lukaku. I mean, you got players that are all playing really well at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a good, I think it's a good time for them to have an international break. I think you can expect a lot from Belgium, actually.
Right.
You got Portugal also on Thursday coming off their fantastic win at the Euro.
Gibraltar.
Yeah, I'm going Gibraltar to win 1-0.
I don't know. Against Gibraltar, they may score.
It always happens.
In 90 minutes.
All right, what other ones?
And then Italy, France. But outside of that,
wow,
it really
Italy,
wasn't.
France. No England?
No England, unless I completely missed it.
All right, so what do you think of the Italy then? Italy versus France. I mean, that could be
Italy actually looked really good in the Euro, I thought. It was a team I think nobody really expected to do anything, but they kind of came together.
They do. The thing is with Italian sides, they work very well with the personnel that they have. There's no real massive standout stars. Like, they got no Ronaldo's, Messi's,
right.
Bale, Neymar. They have no real standout. But what they do is collectively, they're very well organized, very well structured team, and they'll always be in and amongst it. They just always will be, just mainly down to the tactics and the style of play that they've always played. So,
which they did lose Conte, who's at Chelsea now. So I'm anxious to see what they'll do with the new manager.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how France bounce back from losing the final as well.
Because they put their heart and soul into that game.
Yeah, and it's sure they did. It's always fascinating for me when you have this international break this early in the season, like how many of the big players actually sign up to play, should we say? Because you do have a lot of players that their club manager will call the international manager a couple of days before and be like, oh, he's got a niggly toenail injury, I don't think he should play. So that kind of what happens there. But,
all right, so let's move on, because I've been hearing today, Joe Hart technically still plays for City.
Yep.
Although he's not going to get a start. That's pretty much obvious.
Yep.
But he has been called up to the England squad. What does everyone make of that?
Baffling to me.
Yeah.
It's for a confidence thing as well. Look, he's been England's number one for quite a few years now. He's been City's number one for quite a few years. Look, you don't go from being a very, very good goalkeeper to being trash overnight. You just don't. Like, it's a confidence thing. Even the best keepers in the world have gone through little slumps and stuff like that. Even Schmeichel had it at United. And a lot of the other keepers have had it too. He's a good goalkeeper. He's just not in Pep's vision. And with Bravo coming in, he's obviously going to be number one. And then you've got the guy that he's playing now. What's his name? Caballero, yeah. He seems like he's above Hart in the pecking order. But for me, the big question should be, where does Hart go? The guy makes $200,000 a week.
I honestly think he's off to... I think he's going to go find some mid-table team in La Liga.
But how's he
going
to...
Because he's not going anywhere in the Premier League.
Yeah, nobody wants him.
But the
I think
point
like
is,
Seville or like Villarreal or somewhere like that.
Yeah, but you got to understand that this wage bill, this wage that he demands and will demand, there's not many teams, believe me, for a goalkeeper that can pay that money. He literally has to go to either the top four of the Premier League, either has to go to Bayern Munich, maybe Borussia Dortmund, maybe, or he goes to Real Madrid, or he goes to Barcelona, maybe Juventus.
Yeah, he claimed he would take a pay cut to go to Liverpool, but I don't think they're biting at all.
Hmm. And neither should they. They just spent a lot of money. They bought a keeper this summer. Mignolet's not the worst keeper, okay?
Yeah, he
does a job for you. But they just bought this keeper. I think he's injured at the moment. But yeah, how can you go in and do that? And then there was talk about him going to Everton, maybe. But they just spent a bunch of money on Stekelenburg.
Right.
Like what kind of? And I know Koeman likes Stekelenburg, so for me, Hart's in a real strange
tough spot.
Yeah, real tough spot. 30 years old, and they're talking about sending you out on loan. Come on. You do that with your 21, your 22-year-olds. You need that little bit more experience. Your 19-year-olds, not a 30-year-old. Capped God knows how many times for England.
He's won the Premier League Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like a lot of these older guys are doing really well in MLS. I don't know if that
just never gonna pass.
I heard something about Schweinsteiger going to Fire.
Well, supposedly he's saying he will not play for another team in Europe. The Man U was it.
Yeah.
And what I was reading the other day is he wants to fight for a spot, but I mean, Mourinho's made it clear. There's no place for him.
The Celtic manager said that he wants to buy a marquee player, but they need to be fit and able to run, in reference to Schweinsteiger rumor.
Right.
So I don't know where he's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing with Schweinsteiger is must be 33 now. Has to be. And Jose Mourinho, very firm on his kind of personnel. Once you hit 30, you are given a year-by-year contract. He's not going to dish out, like, to... That's why Frank Lampard ended up going, and that's why John Terry was always on this one year. And, you know, we know the thing last year where he told John, we're not re-signing you next year, and then Conte's come in and said, no, I want him for another year, 35 years old. It's just the Mourinho way. Because when everyone was thinking that maybe Carrick was done at United, being, what, 34, got another year.
See, I think hindsight's obviously 20/20, right? But I would have just said, look, I've just come out of the World Cup, maybe a few more years, but once that deal has been signed, I'm not going to go to United. His wife's what, a tennis player?
Right.
Just go sit and watch your games. Retire.
Yeah, yeah.
Just be like, you know what? I'm done. I got the World Cup medal.
Yeah. You've achieved everything you need to achieve in the game.
It's too late to come into the Premier League unless you're Ibrahimovic and you're like freaky kind of, you know, Ibrahimovic even. Got my words mixed up there. So you were saying there was some MLS games going on today, right?
Big one was Portland-Seattle, which Portland was up 4-0 at the break, and Seattle's actually made a match of it and has scored two.
When does that start at 5? Was that the one that was starting at 5 tonight?
Yeah.
Sounders have been shocking this year. Absolutely shocking.
Well, they fired their manager, who's been there forever, Siggy Schmid. And once they got rid of him, it kind of seemed like the team rallied, started playing a little bit better. Got a young kid, Jordan Morris, that's pretty stellar, starting to hit the net. But then they had Clint Dempsey, who's the heart and soul, basically, of the U.S. Just, I think he's been having heart palpitations.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Irregular heartbeat, actually, is what it was.
Yeah. Mm.
So he's out indefinitely for right now.
So let's talk about U.S. soccer for a bit. Touchy subject. The women's team, international team, has been out saying that they want to be paid on level, on par with the men's. And I think, in principle, that's a great idea. I think they should. I think international level, forget the club team. I'm talking international level. If you're bringing in the same or more TV revenue than the men's team were, and you've gotten further. Okay, you're not... The men's, obviously, and the women's team, different strengths, right? But you're both in level playing fields in terms of the women are playing other women, the men's are playing other men's. They should, I think, be paid equal. Again, bust me out. Tell me.
My first thing about this, I think one of the things they're talking about is their contracts with the national team. In my opinion, men, women, cats and dogs, I don't care who you are. If you play for your national team, if you get the opportunity to wear that shirt, it's an absolute honor and you should not get paid a dime. Most of these players are still getting their payment for playing through their cleat endorsements, boots for you English listening, and all that kind of stuff. They still get
advertisement, all
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Club wages.
When it comes to then, the only thing that I think that between the men and the women that they can have any kind of dispute about is at club level. So if they feel like they should be getting the same kind of payments as the guys at club level, look, it all comes down to percentage of revenues gained. I mean, it's simple. Man United can afford to pay Wayne Rooney $300,000 a year because that club will generate $600 million a year. Just will, if not more.
And he's part of that.
He's part of that. Okay, he's a massive part of that. When you have some of the women, the women's clubs, and you have like Alex Morgan, Hope Solo, whoever it is that they play for, they should get the same percentage. If you're the star player, you should get the same percentage. But it's not necessarily the same amount of money. If let's say United's business model, let's say United's business model is we're going to pay Wayne Rooney a contract based on 0.8% of revenues for 2008. Then someone like Hope Solo should be looking at 0.8% of revenues. Her contract-like equivalent should be 0.8 percent of revenues for her team. And let's be honest, her, I don't know who she plays for at club. I know she's a great goalkeeper, and for the US has done amazing stuff. But my, my same principle stands, that you can only get paid what the club makes. Right. You can only get paid what they can pay you. And you decided to sign the contract. Go shop elsewhere a little bit. And that's the same with the guys as well. You have, like, other players do the same. They shop around because they want more money.
Right. Which, unfortunately for Hope Solo, these days, she's not getting paid by anybody.
Yeah. Right, we'll get to that in a second. Don't forget, Chais. Don't forget, guys, you are tuning into... Me too. Dirty Chais are actually the best.
Oh, I'm hungry.
don't forget, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can contact us on the phone, 434-284-9470, or go to your Facebook page. Like our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Blokes on the Bench. And you can also email us through that link as well at the top. It says send email. Now, Hope Solo.
Well, actually, just because you can go on about Hope Solo for days and days and days, but if you guys have not been out to Klockner this season, get out and check out UVA.
Right.
The UVA men, 17th in the nation, took on Coastal Carolina the other night. I think they were either 19th or 21st, and 2-1 result. Edward Opoku was filthy that night. I mean, talking about footwork, the guy was dancing on people. You had Patty Falls hit a beautiful PK, and just fantastic, guys. Great atmosphere. The women today won 4-0. Veronica Lasco had a hat trick in the first half and assisted another later in the game. And, I mean, again, the women's team out there, just top-notch football year in, year out.
And we've talked about the ticket prices. They're so dirt cheap.
Dirt cheap. Get out there.
Support the local team. All right, so let's go back on to Hope Solo for a bit.
So
what's going on?
We talked earlier about parking the bus. And for me as a coach, it's a tactical thing.
Right.
Sometimes that's what
you do. It's not a literal bus. No one's going to go and drive a bus onto the park.
But you play defensive. You set in behind the ball, and you defend.
Right.
So Hope Solo's team, they lost to, was it Sweet? Not Sweet. Was it Sweden?
Yeah.
And it was a former PK. U.S. coach, Pia Sundhage, so she knows the U.S. in and out, knows their strengths, knows their weaknesses. You know, she plays a defensive match against them. So Hope Solo, being Hope Solo, cries they're cowards, and they played a cowardly game, and they were brave. And, I mean, just, you know, just be gracious in defeat. Act like you've been there.
Look, and there are some games, anyone who's played knows, there are some games that you just absolutely batter the other team, but it's just not your day. The ball doesn't go in. It hits the post. It hits everybody on the thigh or on the butt, whatever. It's just not your day. And sometimes you have to hold your hands up and just be like, look, we were actually very good today. We just couldn't break them down. And we lost on the lottery of penalty shootout. That's just the way it goes.
All right, guys, let's go through very quickly the fixtures. Obviously, we're not here next week, so this is the weekend of the 10th. The first game, Manchester United at home to Man City. That's the barn burner of the week, I think.
That is going to be absolute first real massive game of the season.
Bournemouth versus West Ham Albion. Or West Bromwich Albion. Why do I say West Ham Albion? West Bromwich Albion. Arsenal versus Southampton. Burnley versus Hull City. Middlesbrough versus Crystal Palace, Stoke versus Tottenham Hotspurs, West Ham at their new stadium, London Stadium versus Watford, Liverpool at Anfield versus Leicester City, and then we have one game on Sunday, which is Swansea at their Liberty Stadium versus Chelsea, and we do have a Monday game, which is Sunderland at the Stadium of Light versus Everton.
And then on the 16th, the Friday night football continues.
Right, we'll get to that. So. Yeah, so that's it, I guess, guys, for this week. Don't forget, next week we are off, but for the international duty. But I do want to wish everyone in advance a happy Labor Day, and we'll be back the week after next Sunday, same time, same place. I want to thank everyone. My name is Andy,
Ryan,
and Jeremy.
See you guys next time.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.